In memory of Diane Martinez, who changed many lives for the better. The Dark Prophecy. The words that memory wrought are set to fire. Ere new moon rises o'er the devil's mount, the changeling lord shall face a challenge dire, till bodies fill the Tiber beyond count. Yet southward must the sun now trace its course, through mazes dark to lands of scorching death, to find the master of the swift white horse, and wrest from him the crossword speaker's breath. To westward palace must the Lester go, Demeter's daughter finds her ancient roots. The cloven guide alone the way does know, to walk the path in thine own enemy's boots. When three are known and Tiber reached alive, 'tis only then Apollo starts to jive. Chapter 1. There is no food here. Meg ate all the Swedish fish. Please get off my hearse. I believe in returning dead bodies. It seems like a simple courtesy, doesn't it? A warrior dies, you should do what you can to get their body back to their people for funerary rites. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I am over 4,000 years old. But I find it rude not to properly dispose of corpses. Achilles during the Trojan War, for instance, total pig. He chariot-dragged the body of the Trojan champion Hector around the walls of the city for days. Finally, I convinced Zeus to pressure the big bully into returning Hector's body to his parents, so he could have a decent burial. I mean, come on. Have a little respect for the people you slaughter. Then there was Oliver Cromwell's corpse. I wasn't a fan of the man, but please. First, the English bury him with honors. Then they decide they hate him, so they dig him up and execute his body. Then his head falls off the pike where it's been impaled for decades and gets passed around from collector to collector for almost 3 centuries, like a disgusting souvenir snow globe. Finally, in 1960, I whispered in the ears of some influential people, "Enough already. I am the god Apollo, and I order you to bury that thing. You're grossing me out." When it came to Jason Grace, my fallen friend and half-brother, I wasn't going to leave anything to chance. I would personally escort his coffin to Camp Jupiter and see him off with full honors. That turned out to be a good call, what with the ghouls attacking us and everything. Sunset turned San Francisco Bay into a cauldron of molten copper as our private plane landed at Oakland Airport. I say our private plane. The chartered trip was actually a parting gift from our friend Piper McLean and her movie star father. Everyone should have at least one friend with a movie star parent. Waiting for us beside the runway was another surprise the McLeans must have arranged. A gleaming black hearse. Meg McCaffrey and I stretched our legs on the tarmac while the ground crew somberly removed Jason's coffin from the Cessna's storage bay. The polished mahogany box seemed to glow in the evening light. Its brass fixtures glinted red. I hated how beautiful it was. Death shouldn't be beautiful. The crew loaded it into the hearse, then transferred our luggage to the back seat. We didn't have much. Meg's backpack and mine, my bow and quiver and ukulele, and a couple of sketchbooks, and a poster board diorama we'd inherited from Jason. I signed some paperwork, accepted the flight crew's condolences, then shook hands with the nice undertaker who handed me the keys to the hearse and walked away. I stared at the keys, then at Meg McCaffrey, who was chewing the head off a Swedish fish. The plane had been stocked with 6 tins of the squishy red candy. Not anymore. Meg had single-handedly brought the Swedish fish ecosystem to the brink of collapse. "I'm supposed to drive?" I wondered. "Is this a rental hearse? I'm pretty sure my New York junior driver's license doesn't cover this." Meg shrugged. During our flight, she'd insisted on sprawling on the Cessna's sofa.